Hello, Juno, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today we are talking about the relevance and role of spirituals and gospel music in the Black culture. And I'm joined by Sherry Patterson, who's also hosting, Dr. Jonelle Solaire, UAF Professor of Voice, and Reverend Bobby Lewis, pastor and music director. I know that a lot of people in Juno are already familiar with you from the work that you've done here and are very, very sad that you can't be here in person like you normally would be. But I think it's going to bring a smile to a lot of people's faces to at least hear you guys' voices. So if you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about yourself and the connection that you have to Juno, and I'll ask Jonelle to go first, please.
Well, my name is Jonelle Solaire. I teach here at the University of Alaska Fairbanks in Fairbanks, Alaska. My connection to Juno is actually through the other individual in this interview and dear Annie Caulfield. Annie and Rick used to live here in Fairbanks, and then they moved to Juno when Rick took the position of chancellor down at UAS. And then we're fortunate to have Bobby and Eustace come up and do a winter edition and the summer edition of the Fairbanks Summer Arts Festival. With that said, when Annie and Rick moved down, Annie's mind of hers, and I feel like I'm still telling the story. Bobby will tell this with a lot more pizzazz, but I can give you a little bit before he gets in there. Because we know Annie, she brought Bobby and Eustace down and tagged on to the Black History celebration that they do in Fairbanks. And then Bobby and Eustace went down to Juno. And then a part of that, when Bobby and Eustace come to Fairbanks, they do this wonderful Motown fundraiser. And then Juno, Annie said, well, they can do that here too. And then I got to be the third wheel after what, year one or two or something like that. I love it. I'd never been to Juno before. I've lived in Alaska for, are you ready for this? Like, do we have like a virtual drum roll? Okay. But anyways, there we go. Thank you, dear. But this is year 18 for me. I cannot, wow. Yeah, I can't believe that. It's been year 18 for me. So I guess that's where I tie into this Juno community. And I'll say from a personal aspect, that's really non-related to the singing or musical part of it. But at the time, I mean, I was a single mom for 5.5 years. And so wherever I went and whatever my musical journeys, wherever my musical journeys took me, you know, I had this lap baby with me. So wherever I go came my right-hand ride or die, which was my daughter, who's now 9. She was a lap baby when I came to Juno. She was in my arms in an ergo. Yeah. And the best memory where I knew Juno was okay is, and I'm going to try not to cry, but it was when we were performing that Motown show. The first year I was there, and I was watching my baby being passed from person to person, getting a dance in with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I wasn't nervous at all.
Wow.
Because you all took care of my number one there, right? I said, I'm coming back to this place. This place is okay, Mom, because you know I had to check in with G-Ma. Yeah. Right? With my mother, because I don't get to take her grandbaby anywhere without her permission. Juno made the cut, right? So that's my crazy story that's not musical, but I do teach voice up here at UAF, and I love it, and I have amazing students, and I love to sing. However, I'm at a point in my life where I love to see my students sing, and I have this mentality that they're younger and cuter, so you can listen to them. And I push them out on stage, and it's just been really, it's one of the greatest aspects and joys of teaching is watching what you give them come out on stage when they get up and do that. So that's my story. Did I forget anything?
We're going to talk here. We'll figure this out.
So, but yeah, that's basically my story. And I've been here at UAF. I came up to Fairbanks for the job, and it's been wonderful. And it's been a lot of learning experiences, a lot of, you know, ups and downs. But the cool thing is every experience that has been, or situation that has been thrown at us, is at myself and our department and us as a whole, even musically, has been something we've learned from. And I will say this, through this past year, oh man, yeah, I've learned things that I've never thought I would ever learn before in my life. But you know what? I'm going to be really cocky here for a second. I'm really proud of myself that at my age, I can still learn these things.
Yes.
I'm a little techie. I'm kind of learning the computer. So, you know, Miss Sherry and Pastor and friends, old dogs can learn new tricks.
That's right.
Boom. Take that. That's and I'm right. Really obnoxious about it, if you didn't notice that. Because my students will say, yeah, well, like, how did you do that? Like, what did you do? And I said, I'm sorry, what was that? And they just look at me and they roll their eyes. And I said, yes, I am rubbing salt in the wound. Step aside, let mommy show you how this works. So it's been great. So I was just trying to spin this pandemic off on a positive note. So I'm pretty excited about what I've learned through the negative aspects of not being able to touch you guys.
Yeah, I'll do it again one day.
Yeah.
Pastor Bobby.
Yes.
What connection with Juno?
Well, my connection with Juno is a little lady named Jo Scott. And about 19 years ago, she had a guy named Ron Drotus, who was a piano teacher at the, you all probably heard of the Summer Arts Festival in Fairbanks, which started in 1980. Well, around 2002, they added gospel to the festival. But via Ron's promise that he would go back to New York and find a gospel guy, if at all possible, maybe he can drag along his own accompanists. And I came just to see Alaska because I've never been here before. I didn't come for anything spiritual or deep. I just said, you says we got to go see Alaska, see what it looks like. And here it is, 19 years.
Wow.
This year would have been 19 years in Fairbanks for the festival now, the winter edition. Our first year there, we meet this this wild chick from Canada, Janelle, and I didn't meet her. It was like we saw each other.
Wow.
And it's like, why do I know you? We knew each other. It was no meeting. It was like, you know, you just know. When I went to Juno and saw this chick who has this huge alto voice, I'm like, I know you. I just saw Sherry. We didn't introduce ourselves. There is a camaraderie. From day second one, we were brother and sister. Everywhere we go, she better be there. She better bring Juju. And it was like natural. We just came up and do what we do. We love this. You know, we love music. Of course, I pastor in New York, but my church is so awesome to let me leave. I just get up and go. And they're like, bye, pastor. And then I'll call them and say, how was church? And they're like, it was amazing. I'm like, easy on the amazing. Easy on that. But they are such great, and they're looking for, like, listen, next year is 20 years, Janelle, 2022.
Crazy.
It's 20 years in Fairbanks. Yes. So I want to bring the ensemble, portion of the ensemble with me, and bring some of those people from Juno. They need to come on to Fairbanks.
Yes.
And let's celebrate 20 years. And then next year in Juno will be 10 years.
Yes. I was ahead of myself. I was thinking it'd been about 11 or 12 years. But I think your first year was 2011 here.
I thought it was 12. Or is it 11?
I don't know. I have to look back.
11. Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Awesome. 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 Thank you. Thank you for that history. And we're just going to go ahead and start talking. I just am so grateful that we were able to connect and be able to bring this show to our listening audience today. I believe this week you would have been here, as Christina Michelle has already said, for the Gospel Music Workshop. And everybody, you know, on Facebook are getting the memory pictures and everything, and everybody's breaking out in hives because it's not going to happen. And it's like, oh my God. And I saw one even today, Mike Tagovan is like, I don't know where these guys are, but I know they're not coming. I said, hold on, Mike, wait for the show on Thursday. So I think that this will be some kind of comfort to them to have this conversation and listen in today. But we're talking about spirituals and gospel singing and how it fits into the Black culture. What is a gospel song?
Well, I can do the spiritual part of it, and I'll let the Reverend take the other part of it. I always look at Negro spirituals in two different ways. Like, there are two different aspects to it that are brought together. Okay. So you look at it, and then this word spiritual brings them together. So a spiritual is definitely a genre of a song, like a genre of song literature that originated here in the U.S. through our American culture and American history, created by African Americans. It was an oral tradition, meaning, you know, I'm going to sing this and you're going to hear it and you're going to repeat it back to me. So it's this oral tradition that imparted like Christian values. So you've got like the Christianity part of it, the song part, however, describing the hardships of slavery.
Yes.
All of these different entities that are brought together to come into this word of what a spiritual is. So I kind of look at it as this umbrella with these, you know, three things that fall underneath it. And then, as you know, musicologists come into the picture and they tell us, what is it about? How is it? Then people start analyzing it. Right. Everybody wants to analyze something that was so pure from the soul. Then we got to get all educational about it. And we have to say, we have to be able to preach it later. Mm-hmm. But basically, a spiritual is based off of five notes on a piano, which is called the pentatonic scale. Those are all the black keys on the piano that you see if you look at a piano. So they're all based on, all spirituals are based off of those five notes. And so that's kind of like, there's your history right there. And then there have been composers, amazing, in the classical realm, because that's where I come from, right? So we've got all these amazing African-American composers who have taken that and then developed them into not just oral traditions, but have developed the spiritual and the genre of song incorporated with other instruments, instrumentation, piano, accompaniment. So, I mean, that's my aspect of it. And of course, there's different ways where, in depending on where you are at, whether it be in the church, you know, there's always a different interpretation. But classically speaking, that's how we see it classically in the classical, because it is a national form of an art song. It is an art song as it is. It's not just this melody you sing while you're in the shower. It is a classical form of an art song.
Love it.
Yep. Thank you. I love that too. So tell us about the gospel music, gospel singing.
Well, of course, gospel is built from the spiritual. It literally sits right on the spiritual. It's an expanded version of it, but it's it was truly a coping mechanism for the African-American people. That's how they got through the day, singing about, not now, they're singing about a better day that's coming. And their goal was to just get through this, whatever this was, whatever God purposed this, to get through this, to get to that better day. And then gospel comes along, and the theology of it all is Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to save us so that one day we will finish our purpose here and go to the eternity in heaven. That's the gospel. Then there's types of music. It's an added form of that spiritual, with larger musical choices and, of course, instrumentation and chordal progressions. And so it's just a built up spiritual with instrumentation and everything else, choirs and harmonies and all that stuff.
Okay. So this one song has been on my mind and my heart for several days, and I just can't get it out. Fix Me?
Yes.
Oh, fix me. Oh, fix me. Fix me, Jesus. Oh, fix me. Fix me, Jesus, fix me. Now, would you consider that one a spiritual or a gospel song?
Oh, my God. It's a spiritual. That's the basis.
Okay. All right.
And it's the way you arrange it where it becomes either a gospel song.
Okay. All right.
All in the arrangement. But that song, that message is one of my favorite songs that Janelle will be singing at my funeral. Is she sings a song, Talk About a Child. Mm. No. Lord, why me here? Why am I here? I wish I never was born. Mm. And that song tags on, Fix Me. What's wrong with me? We are dark. We are ugly. Mm. We are not because we felt that we were ugly. We felt that our dark skin was, you know, and we had to fix us. And then so that we could be accepted. We would be beautiful, you know.
I did not know that origin. I had no idea. Oh, wow.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then it fixed me for my next. So I want to go to my next home. Fix me for my golden crown. Make me better. Make me beautiful so even you will receive me in heaven.
Yes. So trending in an article I read recently, it said that when we sing gospels, spirituals, we're not singing mere words or lyrics. We're singing a story. We're singing history, the history of all that we as a Black people have gone through and have lived through and have endured. Do you agree with that?
I do. Here's my thing. If you think about spirituals and you think about lyrics and you think about the connection of song, what happens to, why do we hum? Mm. Why do you hum? Mm. Because sometimes you just don't have the words to say, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And sometimes the most effective way to express how you feel is through humming what you already know the lyrics are. Yes, there are words that speak to you, but what's to say that you don't have your own interpretation of what you're feeling personally? Why do you hum? So, yeah, I think there are ways to interpret it. Yes, it's important. I think I just even forgot your question, but the one thing that came to my mind was, why do we hum? Have you ever hum a spiritual?
Oh, God, yes.
Well, hello. You know what I mean?
Oh, and God.
Yeah. Yes, words are powerful, but there's just even power in stillness and simplicity of non-lyrical music because it's still the same history. It comes, it derives from the same song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So Pastor Bobby, these songs are sometimes considered to be old and outdated. Mm. Why do you believe that we should continue to sing them and teach them to our younger generation? Why is it important for them to keep living these songs?
Should I answer that on this side of the break, or should we go to a break and come back? Okay, we'll come back. Okay.
Okay, all righty. So we'll go to a break, and we will be right back. Thank you so much, Pastor.